Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are looking at the AFC snap reactions for the preseason here. So turn it over to Baltimore, and obviously the bad news here is J.K. Dobbins out for the year. So we expect Gus Edwards to be the starter. Tyson Williams is a potential backup. I'd potentially look for them to sign maybe Gurley as well. This could be a week two type signing, so that way they don't have to guarantee his contract. That could be a possibility. Justice Hill also there. So watching cuts, and you know, we'll see maybe, like, could they be a candidate for Melvin Gordon or something like that? I think that's a potential situation to watch for. Also looking here, I think in terms of backup quarterbacks, probably Tyler Huntley. Looks like he's going to be the backup quarterback there to own. And at receiver, just a lot of injuries. So sorting that out, I don't really think there's big news there. Josh Oliver is maybe a monitor sort of down the line in terms of tight ends. So that would be potentially one to consider if he's available. I'm sort of monitoring that, I guess, would be what I would say. Decent amount of usage there. Really one of the leading receivers for the leading receiver in terms of targets, receptions, and he got beat out in terms of yards, but definitely targets and routes didn't grade out that well. So you've got that problem, but in terms of PFF grade, but he's one that's interesting in terms of guys that haven't proved that they can't play yet that are still on, you know, that are still on the younger side. So that's definitely one to watch for. And we'll be interested to see what that healthy depth chart looks like. All right, turning to the Buffalo Bills. Again, not much of a surprise here. Josh Allen, quarterback. Mitch Trubisky, really good quarterback too. I think that's notable. If you're looking like 35, 40 man, something like that, two quarterback, I think he's probably one of the better injury-weight quarterbacks out there. I'll be interested to see what the entire situation is at the running back position. You know, is this one? I'm thinking about ways that this could potentially surprise in the cuts here that'll happen over the next 24 to 48 hours or so when you're listening to this. Is Singletary one, right? Is Zach Moss one? Probably not. But is Singletary one? Possibly. You know, and that's, you just think about that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm keeping a wide range of outcomes on potential ideas there. So be watching there. You do have some concerns there with some of the COVID stuff. It looks like Isaiah McKenzie got vaccinated, so we'll see. You know, that'll be a good one. I know that they've sort of run up against it a little bit there. So be watching for that. I think the backup running back situation is notable. It looks like Singletary, Moss, Breida. And notably, Breida was used kind of all throughout the formation in terms of, you know, running a little bit of the McKenzie role in the last preseason game there. He was split out wide 15% of the time, played in the slot, basically 9% of the time as well. So some interesting stuff there in terms of what he could offer. And, you know, again, really, really small sample size, but I think that's an interesting one to potentially watch for. Jacob Hollister is interesting from a tight end perspective. Dawson Knox has really disappointed. So Jacob Hollister's one I think could be interesting here down the line. Okay, next one here, going to turn to the Cincinnati Bengals. Excuse me, the Cincinnati Bengals. We get Burrow. Hopefully we'll get a healthy Joe Burrow. It'd be really nice to see that. He has played minimally, and he had one drop back in the preseason. So not a whole lot to see there. It was dropped. So we'll watch for, hopefully he gets on the board with a good start of the season. Shout out to Eric Dungy, former Syracuse quarterback, playing there for them. I'm really interested to watch. I think the one of the keys will be what is the injury away status here, and that'll be really interesting to watch for and potentially see Chris Evans, Samaje Perine, Jacques Patrick, all in there in terms of potentially being injury away guys. So definitely be on the watch for that and how that situation all unfolds. And could this backup situation be one where that person's not on the roster right now. The receiver position, pretty static in terms of Jamar Chase, Higgins, Boyd. I'm pretty static there in terms of what I think. You know, I'm not moving Jamar Chase down. You know, I didn't have him at wide receiver 8, but I'm not moving him down either. Tight end could be potentially a little bit of a wasteland. Part of me holds out for Drew Sample. I probably don't think that it's going to happen, but part of me thinks, hey, there's a shot. Thaddeus Moss has actually played quite a bit. He's led them in targets along with Trenton Irwin this offseason. So, CJ Uzama is one that's interesting, and Drew Sample hasn't really played in the preseason. So we'll see how that situation unfolds. I do think a speculative add on CJ Uzama makes some sense, but not a ton of mystery here in terms of a lot of the AFC teams. I mean, that's another one. All right, Cleveland Browns. Again, not a lot of mystery here. Baker Mayfield's your starting quarterback. Keenum's your backup. I think we're watching here over the next couple weeks to see if there's an extension for Baker that might move our range of outcomes on him. I'm not a whole lot to see here. He had 10 dropbacks. Fine. It wasn't anything really particularly notable to pay attention to there in the Baker Mayfield preseason game. Three rushing game snaps for Kareem Hunt this preseason, so not much to see there. John Kelly graded out decently. Not great in terms of the stats, the overall stats, 27 for 87, but 13 forced missed tackles and a decent 75.8 run grade there. And he's probably behind Dearness Johnson, but we'll see if John Kelly maybe can place teams and be an injury away guy, you know, or I guess two or three injuries away, but he could potentially make the team sort of deeper down the line. We'll be on the watch for that. Odell Beckham Jr. will be the big name. He's going to be back. It looks like, you know, we'll see sort of how he plays. Big buzz name. Donovan Peoples-Jones was buzzed about early on in camp. Hasn't really done much. So he goes 5 for 47 in three preseason games. 31 passing game snaps, 29 routes, 7 targets. So not a whole lot there in terms of production out of him this off season. Another name to know, Anthony Schwartz, rookie pick, NFL draft pick this year. Only one target, one reception, 6 yards. So not much to show for him. I think it's going to be Beckham Jr., Landry, Rashad Higgins, probably maybe some Donovan Peoples-Jones on the outside. But Beckham, Landry, Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and then Anthony Schwartz is probably more in the reserve category there. So I'll be on the watch for that. Also interested in what happens with the tight end situation is either David Njoku. I don't think it's Austin Hooper, but David Njoku, a potential guy that could be traded. That would be interesting. I doubt it's going to happen, but that's one that you could potentially watch for. So keeping our eyes open for the deadline here. Okay, next team here, Denver Broncos. So the big answer here is Teddy Bridgewater going to start. That's fine. Like, he's outside the top probably 25 quarterbacks in Superflex. That's fine. I think you can probably cut Drew Lock in like anything less than maybe like 30 man. He's probably cuttable. Maybe a little bit depending on that. I guess 28 man. He's probably pushing a roster spot. We'll see there. He actually didn't play that poorly. I know Bridgewater played better than him, but we could sort of go into this one quite a bit, but I think that Drew Lock probably played himself into that. He should have had another opportunity, but that's not me making that decision. That's somebody else. So we could go on and on about that, but we're not going to. When we look at, I was actually in a draft tonight with some folks with some Denver links. They said that Sutton just doesn't look totally back in terms of elevation and that sort of stuff, so take that for what it's worth. He has been one game, 3 targets, 2 receptions, 27 yards, touchdown, 11 routes so far. So take that for what it's worth. Judy grades out decently well so far in camp. Again, it's basically 72% outside, 28% inside. He has a PFF passing grade of 72.9. Notably, in his contested catches, he's 1 for 2. So we'll see there. No drops. That was a concern for early on in his career. Over 3 yards per route run. So really nice there. Watching for Royce Freeman. Also notable, Melvin Gordon played a lot in the final week. Javonte Williams didn't play at all. So maybe that's a showcasing of Melvin Gordon, potential trade candidate. I don't know. But I think Javonte Williams has a potential early season big uptick in his range of outcomes. Houston Texans, next team up here. There's rumors abound that they want to trade all their veterans. Hey, we're going to move them out. Like, that's a great theoretical idea. But then you signed David Johnson to a revised contract earlier on in the offseason, in which you guaranteed essentially $5 million worth of his contract. Like, you basically guaranteed him beyond the team for $4.8 million. So, $4.25 of that was guaranteed. Great. You want to trade him. That's awesome. You can save basically $500,000 by cutting him and take a $4 plus million cap hit. Like, great. You could potentially save $1.8 million by trading him post June 1, right, which would obviously be what this is. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. So we'll see there. I think he's probably back, but doesn't make a ton of sense. There's Mark Ingram, has actually played pretty well. Philip Lindsay, I think, is a potential uptick guy, but has played very poorly so far in camp. He has 15 carries, 33 yards, abysmal 47.9 PFF grade, no forced missed tackles. So we'll be on the watch for that and see how that all goes. I think Ingram is sneaky interesting, but again, this is going to be a bad offense. So we'll see. Scotty Phillips stand out in terms of his stats so far. 25 carries, 155, and a touchdown. It's interesting. They were like, hey, we want to trade all our old guys. Well, you signed them all this offseason to like one-year deals. How's that going to work out? I don't know. We shall see. All right. In terms of their receivers, one name that I would potentially be watching for is Brandon Cooks. And I think like Brandon Cooks would be really interesting if he went back to New Orleans, for example. It'd be really, really interesting. I don't know what the appetite for that all is, but that'd be really interesting in terms of going to a situation that I think is better, that has a need for a wide receiver one, at least in this half of the season, and would be a really interesting complement to Michael Thomas. I don't know if that fits. I mean, they just sort of make up numbers in terms of their cap stuff, so I don't know if that fits, but that would be one that would be interesting, that he could potentially see him drawing some interest from there. So definitely be on the watch for maybe a Brandon Cooks trade, because it seems like they're in the business of potentially trying to trade some of these vets, although I think Brandon Cooks would be fine this year. Okay, and then you sort of look, I mean, Jordan Akins, I think, is interesting. Like, this is a pretty, this is a pretty not great situation. So we'll watch for that. Kiki Kuti's played fine. Kiki Kuti's basically their slot guy, 87%. Anthony Miller, 87% as well in the slot. So we'll see sort of what that whole situation looks like between the two of them. Kuti outplaying Anthony Miller so far in the preseason. So we'll watch for that situation. The quarterback situations, also want to note, I think it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, but I can't guarantee that. So just sort of be on the lookout for what it is this season. I don't think either situation is going to be particularly all that interesting. So, but yeah, if it is 28 man, you want to own the starting quarterback. So it's either him or Davis Mills. It should be Tyrod Taylor. All right, the Indianapolis Colts, it looks like Carson Wentz is on COVID. It doesn't look like that. Carson Wentz is on COVID. It looks like he was not vaccinated based on the facts and how he has basically landed up on the COVID list. It basically all but guarantees he was not vaccinated. So we'll see there. I think it was extended close contact with a trainer who had COVID. So we'll see how that goes. Hope all is well there for everyone. Jacob Eason's actually played pretty well so far. 3 drops. So he's 41 for 62, 389. So that's 6.3 yards per attempt. Like, no touchdowns, no interceptions. You're like, ah, okay. But 3 drops, right? I mean, that's interesting in terms of, like, there could be more there. 2 big time throws, 2 turnover worthy plays. Sam Ellinger has actually outperformed Eason. Again, you're looking second team offense. He's graded out worse in terms of PFF grading, so just sort of bear that in mind as well. He has, you know, it's Eason 78.2 to Ellinger 63.8 there. So big difference there in terms of all of those. In terms of how that's looking. So just keep that in mind. Eason, like, hasn't proven that he can't play yet. So we'll see. We'll see. You look at the it's interesting because Marlon Mack didn't play in the final preseason game. I think that's probably to keep him ready to go for week 1 would sort of be my hunch. Jordan Wilkins did play. Jordan Wilkins was playing behind Marlon Mack earlier in camp. So for what that's worth, looks like JT, Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, and Jordan Wilkins, probably the 4th guy on that depth chart at present. So be on the watch for that. And I think if that's going to be the case, Jordan Wilkins can potentially be a cut candidate here going forward. All right. The in the passing game, you have a Hilton. Looks like it's going to be, I don't know if extended injury is going to be the right word for it, but it looks like it's going to be an injury that might take at least a couple weeks to get figured out there with T.Y. Hilton. Looks like a disc issue in his neck or back. That's pretty scary, and I can't assume that'd be comfortable, so we'll see how that all goes. Michael Pittman's popular buzz candidate has done nothing in preseason yet. You know, I guess maybe Paris Campbell, who's also done nothing in preseason. Yeah, and not like they haven't played, by the way. It's not like they haven't played. Like, he had 16 snaps, he drew 3 targets. Pittman had 15 snaps and drew 2 targets. So, sorry, 12 snaps and drew 2 targets. So, not a ton of work. Maybe that signals, hey, they're going to be core guys. But Zach Pascal, 11 snaps, drew 4 targets, 31 yards there. So, I guess that would sort of be the trio that I'm looking for. And then we're looking for maybe some tight end production there, and hoping to see potentially Carson Wentz back in a either he sinks or he swims type role. All right, Jacksonville Jaguars, and they've traded away Gardner Minshew, and I actually endorse this idea. I've said this for a while. I don't really care if I am Jacksonville. Like, it doesn't matter to me if how good Gardner Minshew is. Like, you have to move on from him. And it's kind of like if you're dating someone and, you know, you start dating somebody else, but, like, the other person's, like, still around, like, that's a disaster, because you're like, hey, like, oh man, they really look nice today, but, like, oh, I want to go talk to him. And it's like, you're dating someone else but still living with the old person. Like, that's a disaster of a situation, because you're like, any date that goes bad, you're like, oh, I can just, you know, I got the other person right here, you know, and then your family's calling and they're like, hey, how's ex so-and-so, you know, how's she doing? How's she taking the breakup? And just, you know, oh, like, you know, oh, you went on a bad date. Like, maybe you should call the ex. And it's like, you know, all of those things. And that's exactly what's going to happen with Gardner Minshew. Like, you don't need that, Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's not going to be seamless. Like, get the mistress out of the picture, trade him. Like, it has nothing to do with Gardner Minshew. But Gardner Minshew is like the live-in ex-girlfriend that you have to get rid of, or ex-boyfriend. Like, that's the live-in ex that's got to go, and that's Gardner Minshew, and, like, that's just the deal. Like, that's what's got to happen. So C.J. Beathard's like the unthreatening backup quarterback. That's fine. Minshew hasn't played particularly well either in camp, so that's worth noting. Neither really has, you know, Lawrence has been okay. 2 big-time throws, 2 turnover-worthy plays, 8 out of 8.4, 7.3 yards per attempt. He has dropped back to pass 48 times and thrown 323 yards. So good, not great. We'll sort of see how it turns out. I'm interested in watching. It'll be early season watch fest for sure. Okay, some running backs here, I think, to note. James Robinson has played, he's taken 11 carries, only six for Carlos Hyde. So that's something I think to be just like, about. Basically an even split there between the two of them in terms of first team snaps so far. So I think James Robinson's the better player, but I think you'd be crazed not to at least consider adding Carlos Hyde on the back end of your roster. Obviously losing Travis Etienne, you know, if you can get a first plus for Travis Etienne right now, I think that's interesting. It sucks, man. Like, it just sucks. And, you just want to see players get the opportunity. Like, I think just a random first, I'd probably take Etienne. Like, if you gave me a first plus some contending asset for this year, like, I think I'm probably more interested. The receiving situation, you know, we'll see what DJ Chark hasn't done. Basically, he hasn't played at all in training camp, so you have that. Marvin Jones played minimally decent. Yeah, he's just what he is, man. Marvin Jones is just a damn good football player. Really, really good. So it's interesting, too, that he has the connection there with Darrell Bevell. Laviska Shenault's graded out really well. They're both, in terms of their yards per route run, way up there. Laviska Shenault, 2.24, and then Marvin Jones is at north of 4. So can really capitalize on that going in. Laquon Treadwell has resurfaced, but 0.94 yards per route run. So that's a pretty significant downtick. I don't expect much. Philip Dorsett's kicking around. James O'Shaughnessy's here. You know, we'll see what the tight end situation looks like. It's pretty destitute right now. Chris Manhertz. I don't think in 25, 28 man roster, I'm super interested in anyone there until it gets a little bit more clarified. Okay, turning next to Kansas City, and there's not much mystery here. Mahomes is really good. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think it's going to be Darrell Williams as the injury away guy. Jerick McKinnon's potentially playing himself out of the roster, so watch that backup spot. That's one, you know, if you got a Wednesday waivers and Tuesday cut down, and for some reason Darrell Williams, gets cut, like that's one you need to figure out. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm just sort of warning you about it. The receiving position, again, you're sort of getting, like, listen, Travis Kelce's a wide receiver too. Like, that's kind of what he is. And, you know, people are like, oh, they need a wide receiver too. Like, his name's Travis Kelce. Like, it's like number one is Tyreek Hill and number two is Travis Kelce. He's just that he profiles as a wide receiver essentially with his stats. So not super worried about it. Again, you're going to get, you know, the Mecole Hardman is, you know, we're on year like 9 of a breakout for him or whatever. Like all that stuff's possible. I don't know. I think it's probably going to go back to what it was. And I think the question you'll have is like, hey, where's the Sammy Watkins? Like sort of some of the ancillary stuff, you know, can Noah Gray potentially be relevant? Like that's one that's interesting to me, like DeMarcus Robinson, like Byron Pringle, like all these guys could potentially kick in. But as of right now, it's going to be the Hill Kelce show. Like that's just kind of going to be how it revolves. And then you're going to get some combination of contributions thereafter, but it's not anything I'm betting on. Like it's just not. And that's kind of how the Andy Reid offense has been for 2 decades now. Like this isn't super surprising. Like they haven't relied around like a huge wide receiver too. Heck, they didn't even have really a wide receiver two to masquerade as a wide receiver one for like a full decade in Philly. So I'm not super worried about it. Nathan Peterman has basically played every snap for the Raiders, which is amazing. And he hasn't played particularly well, notably a very good fumble grade. So for what that's worth, I remember the first day of my football watching life as a parent, It was my daughter Gracie. She's now four. She'll be four in November. And it was Thanksgiving. It was the weekend before Thanksgiving. So they always have the Thursday Thanksgiving games. What was the Sunday before that? And it was the first Nathan Peterman game. It was the 5-interception game. I remember watching, holding my daughter, and I was like, listen, like, we got to turn this around. But that was a fun memory there. The running backs, I think Trey Regis is interesting. He's played decently well. B.J. Emmons has played not as well. 2 fumbles, so Regis is probably significantly ahead, I would imagine, in that battle. But interesting, and it's largely the fumble situation. Like, they look pretty similar otherwise. I think that's an interesting running back 3 spot to watch. So Regis, Emmons, however that fills out. Heck, maybe they keep both of them. Like, they probably could do that. But I think either one of the winners of that probably be owned in like 30-man rosters, or rostered, excuse me, in 30-man rosters. All right, the receiving position, it's Waller. It looks like Waller's going to be ready to go. I know we were worried a little bit early in camp. I'm not so worried now. We haven't really gotten a ton. It looks like John Brown is buried. We haven't really gotten much out of anyone else. This is the Sean McVay, John Gruden angle to, we're not going to play anybody. So no Edwards, no Ruggs. I think that's notable for both guys that, hey, like, that they're getting the treatment. That's kind of what you, like, you want to know that for your guys. Like, that's really good. And that they're getting that treatment. Like, everything points to Edwards being a potential breakout guy, for what that's worth. You know, I still treat it like a lot of base rates, but we'll move it a little bit there. In favor of him, pretty interesting. Chargers, it's a full-on quarterback backup situation. Easton Stick has outplayed Chase Daniel. They should probably keep Chase Daniel because, preseason doesn't matter. He's playing with really bad teammates. No offense to anyone or their parents who he was playing with, but they weren't very good. And he's there to mentor Herbert. And listen, if Herbert gets hurt, like, you're not going to Super Bowl anyways. And what do you do? Like, Chase Daniel is going to help you. So all that to say is, like, keep Chase Daniel and don't get too cute. But who knows? I think the running back situation is really interesting. Joshua Kelly's just not very good. Larry Roundtree is very compelling to me. Like, 6 forced missed tackles, 22 attempts. By way of reference, 0 forced missed tackles for Joshua Kelly on 18 attempts. Like, it's just, they're night and days apart. Like, Josh Kelly's just not very good. And he's just not. And, Roundtree gives them some additional juice. I was actually reading, because I cover them for Football Guys, beat reporters are suggesting that that it is actually Justin Jackson that might get cut. Like, if that happens, Roundtree is absolutely an ad, because we're going to find out very quickly that Joshua Kelly's not very good at playing football. And Roundtree could be, with the listen, I worship at the mount that they're going to put the the Austin Eckler memorial on, the big statue of him at some point. But I worship at that thing. But he's not had a robust health resume. So I think the backup running back there could absolutely be interesting. No real news out of the receiver position. Listen, it's Allen. It's Mike Williams, who's been banged up a little bit. It's Joshua Palmer, who's actually played decently well. Like, he's gotten a little bit of bump there. This is interesting. And then outside of that, not a ton. Palmer actually played pretty well. 85% of the stuff is coming outside for him. 1.41 yards per route run. Again, that's, he's basically the only contributing guy that has played very much. They are interested in Donald Parham. You got Jared Cook there. So I think this is a really compelling offense. I really do. Like, this, I'm a fan of the offense. I'm a fan of Herbert. I like the new offensive staff coming at him out of New Orleans. And, like, listen, it's going to be really, I just think it's going to be a really, really interesting watch. I'm a big fan of Herbert too. So I hope he gets his splits corrected and we're going from there, because I'm a big fan. All right. The Miami Dolphins, and I will say this, for what this is worth, which is probably nothing. But Reed Sinnott jumped off the page to me. He's graded out really well in terms of a passer. Again, who cares is a totally justifiable response. Three big time throws, zero turnover worthy plays, four drops, an ADOT of 9.7, 8.9 yards per attempt, an excellent 87.9 PFF grade. This may be the last time we ever talk about Reed Sinnott, but for what it's worth, like, hasn't proved he can't play yet. So just keep that in mind. Listen, Tua, like, they're in the Watson thing, and I think this is a classic basketball trade. You look at the guys that, and there's stories of times in the past where, you know, it was Klay Thompson and Steph Curry in a trade for, like, guy X that looks terrible now. And you're like, oh, well, that would have been horrific. But at the time, like, Steph Curry was injured and Klay Thompson wasn't the guy. And you're like, hey, you get, like, these, hey, twinkle in the side of your eyes, like, could be promising type guys. But before they fully break out, like, you trade them for superstars. That's just kind of what you do. And you get the opportunity to trade for a bona fide superstar at the quarterback position. You don't let an average guy get in the way of that. Like, we've seen that story before. We've seen it with Blake Bortles. Like, we could go back and back and back and back and back of teams that let average quarterbacks get in the way of acquiring elite ones or the shot in an elite one. And it goes, like, this is a problem as old as time. And I think for Miami, like, you do that. Like, you go out, and if you can get Deshaun Watson, you don't let Tua get in the way. You just don't. And so we'll be interested to see how that all unfolds. I don't, like, listen, the trade could happen by the time you listen to this podcast. Otherwise, like, it might be, like, he's going to just sit there. I don't know, man. Like, this is incredible. Like, it looks like Deshaun Watson, they're just going to pay him to make him a game day inactive. And listen, there's probably not, whatever, 47 guys or however with the active roster is, like, there's probably not that many guys that are actually warrant being active on the Houston Texans team. I mean, there's probably, they probably can't fill a 53 man roster. I get all that. Listen, they're going to pay him $10.5 million base salary. It's all guaranteed. A cap hit of basically $16 million to do nothing. Again, there's not like they have a ton of other stuff going on, but then you look at this afterwards, and it's like, it's just brutal in terms of the cap hits they're going to take, like, $51 million dead number next year, $67 this year, just incredible. And it's really tough to stomach all of that. Like, I'm glad Jack Easterby was worth it, because, yeah, the contracts that are going to be just sitting there as dead money are just going to be amazing. So, for what that's worth. The running back situation, you know, listen, I think it's Gaskin. I think it's probably a committee, would sort of be my inclination. It's Gaskin. It's Salvin Ahmed. It's Malcolm Brown. Notably, Malcolm Brown has graded out better than Gaskin and Ahmed so far. He's forced four missed tackles on 19 carries. Not great in terms of the splits. Actually, Gaskin and Ahmed actually look better in terms of overall stats, but Malcolm Brown grades out better in terms of PFF grade. So notable distinction there. It's one of the big outliers that I've seen so far in terms of the distinction along this series. All of them have performed fine. Again, really small sample size, so caveats abound. They've performed decently well in the passing game, all three of them. Notably, it's Gaskin, 19 passing game snaps, 14 for Ahmed, 6 for Malcolm Brown. Patrick Laird, DFS hero from years past, 3 for 28 on 21 passing game snaps so far. So keep that in mind. Looks like it also looks like Devontae Parker should be ready, hopefully. That's what we're looking for. We're obviously going to miss Will Fuller week one. Mike Gesicki, a stud performance so far, two games, but excellent receiving score for him. Hunter Long failed to really distinguish himself so far. 23 snaps in the passing game, 21 routes run, and 2 for 12. So we'll see there. He's played 52% of his pass snaps in the slot, only 39% in line. So we'll watch there for his development here going forward. Also, Jalen Waddle, 4 targets, 3 receptions, 21 yards, 22 passing game routes so far. Notably, 73% of his, almost 74% of his routes are in the slot. So be really interested to see how that all unfolds. I don't think there's a ton of challenge there to Fuller on the outside, would sort of be my inclination. Excited to have him back, hopefully healthy, ready to go, cooking. Be nice to see. All right, the New England Patriots. Listen, I'm no psychologist about Bill Belichick, but one thing that I will say that I feel like I have a relatively good grasp on is that Belichick doesn't tolerate a whole bunch of shenanigans about if you can't get there, right? He's got no use for you. If you can't figure out a way to get through traffic on time, there was the story that they had a horrific snowstorm, people couldn't get there, and he cut them. It's like, if you're late, you're late. This is the story of Brady when he was a younger player. And he was in stuck in traffic, pregame traffic. It was like a total, just traffic Armageddon outside the stadium. And he drove a yellow Jeep or some really open and notorious looking car. And, the cops saw him or whatever. And he flagged down the car. You know, there was some story about how he called in a favor or whatever to security. And he had a security, was a former trooper. And so the trooper, the former trooper called some of his trooper buddies or whatever, and they escorted Brady into the stadium so that way he could be on time for being 3.5 hours early for the game or whatever. But it was actually going to be a close call in a snowstorm, all that stuff. And I have zero doubt that Belichick would have sat Brady, he would have done that. He does that sort of stuff. He's got no tolerance for that sort of stuff. So I don't have a ton of faith that he's going to give leeway to Cam Newton, and Mac Jones has played well enough to earn the starting job, and Mac Jones has probably played better than any rookie quarterback so far, full stop. Mac Jones is probably, all told, there's that whole always pro ready, all that nonsense. There's ethnic stereotypes that sort of baked into that, so I'm just not going to touch that with a 12-foot pole. But I will say, good PFF grades, he comes from a system at Alabama that, there is some bleed over between what Alabama does and what the Patriots do. Just scheme at, there has been that sort of relationship there. So it shouldn't be totally surprising that Mac Jones is looking pretty good. 4 big time throws, 0 turnover worthy plays, that hurt by 4 drops, an ADOT of almost 9, 7.5 yards per attempt, 92.2 PFF grade. Again, you're looking at all this, it's pretty good. Has turned too many of his pressures into sacks, so that's not great. So 31.3%, but that's from, I'm probably nitpicking at that point. So pretty good time to throw as well, almost exactly the same as Cam Newton. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to do. I will say at the running back position, I'm glad they traded Sony Michel. This is a really good running back core. This is really good. What team is going to, field this good of, it's a very diverse and good group of guys. Ramondre Stevenson, big guy, can move, can catch. Yes, excellent. We like him. J.J. Taylor, pretty dynamic in terms of both rushing and receiving stuff. Nice. Damien Harris, we love Damien Harris as well. They've got James White. Sony Michel was there, who's actually graded out really well in terms of some advanced metrics the past couple of years. It's a really good and interesting young running back core. So it still is now that they got rid of Michelle. I think it's a really compelling set of guys. So outside of James White, who of course is older, you have Stevenson, JJ Taylor, and Damien Harris. I think it's a really compelling group. If you told me, I was having a conversation tonight with subscriber we got together for a strategy session. It was like, hey, you know, what do you think about Damian Harris? And I was like, you could tell me anything and I would think it's possible. Like, if you told me like almost any fact pattern, like he led the league in rushing, like totally believe it. He led the league in rushing touchdowns, believe it. He had, you know, two rushing touchdowns all season and didn't play more than 20% of snaps after week one. Like, absolutely believe it. Like, any sort of range of outcomes, it's possible. So we'll see how that all works out. I think the most likely outcome is that Damian Harris is a starting running back and there's some form of committee there. Maybe he's like a 55% guy. I think that's probably the most likely one. If you told me that Ramondre Stevenson ran the ball 32 times in week one, that wouldn't shock me either. So for what that's worth, I don't think that's going to happen, but that wouldn't surprise me. So we'll see. The receiving game, like I do think there's some interesting guys. I don't think they have a true number one. You know, there's this theory rolling around that like you just need like a lot of guys that are, you know, competent and you can sort of get away without having a wide receiver one. They're going to test that with, you know, Harry's hurt. You know, they've got Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. You know, they've got James White and they've got the tight ends in terms of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So I think it's really interesting, and yeah, they've got threats out of the backfield and all that stuff. So we'll be interested in to see sort of how that all goes, and I'll be monitoring. I think this could be absolutely – like if you told me they don't, this team wins 12 games but has zero fantasy starters, it would not shock me. That basically you've got like a running back 30 finish. Maybe you get like two top 40 finishes out of running backs or even three top 40 finishes. You've got like a wide receiver 4 finish, like a wide receiver 6 finish, and two tight end 2 finishes. Like that wouldn't shock me in the least. So at the same time, like it wouldn't shock me if you had multiple starter seasons out of them. Like there's a really wide range of outcomes and we just don't know a lot of this. So yeah, that's where we're at. All right, we're going to turn to the Jets here. And, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about Zach Wilson. And I like what I see. Listen, I like what I saw too in the preseason. It always gave me a little bit of concern that there's people that really watch tape that are really troubled by some stuff that he does. And I don't know. Like, it's not what I do. Like, I'm just going to sort of default to what they do. But I'll say, like, there's been some decisions that really stood out to me, some throws to Corey Davis that were really interesting. I think he's performed really well so far, made good decisions. Two big-time throws, zero turnover-worthy plays, 9.6 yards per attempt, really good PFF grade, almost 84. So, yeah, I'm encouraged. Honestly, I really am encouraged. When you look at the running game, I don't have a particularly strong take. I think it's a combination of Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman as the 1-2, and then Michael Carter's after that. Ty Johnson, notably 28 rushes, 4 for Tevin Coleman in the preseason. So if you were to be like, hey, who's the starter? Like it kind of looks like Tevin Coleman more than anyone else. That wouldn't shock me. I'm probably not going to play anyone. I think you have to have Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson rostered at this point. I think LaMichael Perrine's probably going to get cut or at least be the running back 4 in this backfield. If I had to bet on a guy that's going to lead them in touches in week one, I would bet Tevin Coleman. But I think Ty Johnson's totally possible too. I think Michael Carter's maybe the betting line favorite in like the fantasy community, but would be one of my, I would absolutely be fading him. Corey Davis, 6 receptions, 10 targets. He has run 13 receiving routes, 88 yards total. So if you're doing the math at home, that is 6.7 yards per route run. So if he only kept that up for an entire season, Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is where we're heading. I kid, that'd be a record, but you know, we'll see. I'm very excited for him. A big time volume to him. And if you sort of want to bet, like, hey, round 2 wide receivers, it's an anomaly that they make a big difference. Like, if you sort of accept that as true, like, man, there's a really high ceiling for Corey Davis. So that'd be my angle on Corey Davis. Again, Denzel Mims may be a trade candidate. He actually has performed decently, but it's 3 receptions, 51 yards. Like, the PFF grade's fine. Not a particularly high scoring in terms of his, like, his production or whatever from a, you know, from a per route run basis or anything like that. He's north of 2, but again, it's 23 routes and 51 yards. So keep that in mind. But could he be a potential trade candidate? You know, they've got guys in front of him that are passing him over. It looks like Keelan Cole's kind of in front of him. You've got Elijah Moore. You've got Corey Davis. And so you've got other guys that are sort of up in front of him, and he could potentially be one that is looking for a different job. Like, that wouldn't be super surprising to me. And that might actually be nice. Like, could you imagine if he landed in New Orleans? It'd be really, really compelling and really interesting. So on the watch for that. He's a big-time roster crunch guy. I do think the other one to potentially look for is, like, Tyler Croft. And if it's too tight end, like, Chris Herndon's not any good, and Tyler Croft's better. But in terms of, like, hey, what's a scenario in which these guys could be relevant because – like, you need to throw the ball to someone, I think it could absolutely be Tyler Croft. So, again, that might be 60, 70 targets, but I think he's an interesting one to monitor. Okay, Pittsburgh Steelers rounding home, rounding third here, heading towards home. Couple more teams left. So, Pittsburgh Steelers, be interesting to see what happens with Haskins. He's played okay. 3 big-time throws, 1 turnover-worthy play, 6 drops. So he's 37 for 58, 6.5 yards per attempt, but 6 drops. 14% of his throws there have been drops, so that's notable. 18 pressure dropbacks, only 1 sack. So I'd like to see that as well from Haskins. Be interested to see, can he develop? Can he get his head out of his posterior? All that stuff would be nice to see. Najee Harris looks good. He's played unnecessarily in the preseason. So, you know, I've got some flack for this. I just want to make it clear, I don't think this is a good idea of running these guys out here for preseason games. But I understand other people think otherwise, and that's fine. I wouldn't be doing that, but I'm not paid this money to make these decisions either. So, just happy that everyone's healthy. Just get through, and that we didn't have a J.K. Dobbins situation or an Travis Etienne situation or anything like that. So we'll watch here for. I'm expecting a big time role for Najee Harris. He's graded out fine. A couple forced missed tackles, like, it's fine. You don't really much care. I'm really interested. I actually took a shot on Deonta Johnson in a draft today, which is interesting in a startup draft. Not a guy that I've been super in on, but listen, I can't turn away from the volume. And I think maybe we don't necessarily appreciate this. 89% of his snaps outside. That is basically the exact same as Chase Claypool so far in camp. 80% of Juju Smith-Schuster's snaps have been in the slot. So we kind of know what the offense looks like. Pat Freiermuth, 83% of his snaps have been in line, so not a ton of work, but 2 touchdowns on 3 receptions. It's a good rate. It's a good rate. 4 targets, so he's 2 for 4 on turning his targets into touchdowns. Benny Snell will be one that's interesting. I think could, if he lands as a cut guy, if he could potentially end up as like a backup to Mike Davis, for example, something like that. I think that'd be totally possible. Pretty interesting to see him get a different shot here. I think Anthony McFarlane's going to be the guy to own. So, for what that's worth, or to roster, I should say. All right, last but not least, Tennessee. And it looks like Tannehill missed I don't know if he's on COVID specifically. Logan Whiteside is a guy out of Toledo who's actually played decently. I actually covered, I did a spot weekly appearance for Football Guys covering Tennessee, and like the reports on him were like rave, like this guy's great in terms of like all the stuff he's learned, and he's like really dependable as a backup. Like his stats, you know, whatever, it doesn't really stick out in preseason. 3 drops, like it's 29 for 40, 248. That's 6.2 yards per attempt, three touchdowns, one interception, 78.5 PFF grade. Just monitor the Tannehill stuff. Like, he could potentially be a guy that's I don't think it's going to be a concern for week one, but if it is, like, hey, there's worse situations in the world to throw to than A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. So maybe he's worth a spec pickup, and, you know, if it's 28-man, something like that, and you got a roster spot, like, hey, he's worth the spec pickup, and then cut him if Tannehill's back, like, that's fine. But he's actually played decent enough to just, I think, he warrants mentioning. You know, if you're playing 40 men, probably worth getting him on the roster. Okay, the running back position, you haven't really seen much of Darrington Evans. Jeremy McNichols has played sparingly. Brian Hill's played a lot, so we'll see what the backup situation looks like. I'm really interested to see what, you know, if they're going to IR Darrington Evans. I don't think they're going to do that, but they talked him up quite a bit early on in the preseason, so we'll see there. Brian Hill's played a lot, so I think the distinction there between Hill and Jeremy McNichols matters. Mekhi Sargent matters as well, so watch there for that. I don't necessarily trust that Darrington Evans is going to be a long-term injury away guy, so we're looking for other candidates on that team. The receiving position, you know, it's Firkser at tight end, it's A.J. Brown, it's Julio. That's pretty much what we're looking for. Josh Reynolds has played sparingly. He's played 12 snaps in the passing game. We'll see if that's them wanting him to be fully integrated in the offense in terms of, like, playing, or if they're just not that impressed. It's notable that he's played when A.J. Brown and Julio haven't, and he hasn't played particularly well, so take that for what it's worth. I still think Firkster's got live outs, even though, you know, people aren't super high on him. I am still interested, and I think he could be a fringe tight end one at tight end three costs and be totally fine with that. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this AFC Snap Reactions. Getting in full season form here, ready to go. Going to be an exciting few days here, so I'll cover cut down day. We'll have pods here. I got a couple of passing game previews things still to come out, so we'll do that. A couple other pieces, then we'll get into week one. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.